Thank you, Linda. Okay, at this time I'd like to introduce our second speaker who will be talking about steps 6 and 7. Francis J. from Jacksonville, North Carolina.
My name is Francis J. and I'm a recovering addict. I'd like to thank the committee for allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope. I'd like to thank all my sponsees and they sponsees who came and support me. And all my friends, I'd like to thank you too. People that ain't my friend, you'll be my friend when I finish. I'd like to thank Linda for giving a message of hope. I'm doing steps 6 and 7. I don't know why people always ask me to share about defects of character. I think it's a setup. I said, when I come to do this workshop, I'm going to have some fun. Because, like, I'm the addict to tell you that my character became my defect. And the way my character became my defect, see, I could tell you how, you know, I got shot with 20 years clean. That was the second time I got shot, for those who really don't know me. I got shot in recovery, but I got shot when I was using. I got 9 bullet wounds. 50 Cent ain't got nothing on me. That was that movie. I wanted to always say that, right? So look, I say I'm going to have me some fun. The thing is, my defect became my character, right? It took God to allow me, you know, like sometimes we look at the things that happen to us as a curse, and it can be a blessing in disguise, right? Humbly asked him to remove my shortcomings. Asking him to remove my defect. I never knew until I got shot and got moved away from D.C. that I was a defect all in my character. I had created a person to survive my addiction. And see, what I learned is I brought my defect into recovery. My defect was never left in the street. So the people who knew me as the defect, but thought they knew Frances and had no idea who she was. The reason why I know that is because when I started doing some real step work, right? I started learning that it's something about me that I wanted to change. I wanted to be somebody different. I wanted to be somebody that when I looked in the mirror, that every morning when I get up, I look in the mirror and I say, "Hey, girl, how you doing? Thank you, God." I have to do that every morning. Not for you. I don't say half of the stuff I say for you. I say it for me so that I can remember. I say it for the newcomer. But I just say it for the newcomer so they can understand that I came from where they came from. Identification purposes. All my story happened in recovery. I didn't do half the stuff I did on the street as I did in recovery. I sold dope in recovery. I sold dope. I buried my brother from the penitentiary in recovery. I took care of my grandma. And I've done some good things because what I've learned is that all my character wasn't bad. See, in the fourth step, on page 33, me and Linda was talking about how, like, sometimes I gotta use the book because I'll get too smart for my own britches. And I'll start to try to tell you, teach you recovery. That's not my job. My job is to share my experience, strength, and hope. How I got here, what I did to get here, and how I'm moving forward in my life. And how I'm moving forward in my life is, I have been transformed from the inside. I love recovery. For the first time in my whole life, I can tell you, I've finally gotten in touch with the fact that I ain't never got to be somebody that you're okay with if I'm not okay with me. I've got to tell you that for real, like, I used to think that all my, you know, my sex partners made me somebody that was sexually, you know, like, the bomb. Can I tell you, I ain't had sex so long I forgot how to do it. But it's not because I can't. I'm fine. And I believe that the only difference between me now and then is that I had to learn how to transform my, as God, let me say that, I take no credit, to transform my spirit and me into something that he would be pleased with, right? So what happened for me is, he said, I know she the type of person that ain't going to go willingly. So if you're not humble like I wasn't, you will get humiliated. My humiliation came through me getting shot with 20 years clean and everybody talking about me, telling my story better than I could tell it, not knowing the story. I've been called hot. I ain't never been hot. That's the one thing that bothered the crap out of me. But God still kept me at that place so that he could say, I'm not finished with you yet. So he moved me to a place where I could get a vertical connection without trying to live a horizontal plane to please people. So what I understood, well, when I start really going through the steps, I tell my sponsors, I say, look, this program is about us getting in contact with our spiritual principles. It's about us being transformed and our spiritual principles being a part of who we are. Like, I don't no longer have to tell you a lie just so I can cover my tracks. I'm going to tell you the truth because they say the truth shall make me free. I need to be free. So I need to tell you who I am at all costs. I definitely know I'm not who I used to be. I need to tell you that, like, through my humiliation, when I got to North Carolina, I ain't had nothing. I come from making $22 an hour, the house on Capitol Hill, you know, buku so-called friends, all of that to nothing. Nothing. And I kept saying, God, I don't know what I've done that was so bad that you had brought me to this place where I have been, like, totally, like, just wiped out of everything. And through my losing everything, I can tell you this on today, I have more than I've ever had and I ain't working. God, I mean, like, because one day, like, this was a month ago, I was crying and I was like, I'm obedient. I'm doing the right thing. For the first time in my life. Like, I ain't cursing at nobody. I'm not having sex, God. I don't smoke. And if I curse, I do it on the spot. I'm sorry. In front of people, and I demand the same respect that I give you. I ask people to give it to me so that what they'll see is they'll start transforming because this is a repetitious program. And we do it because of the fact that when I start acting different in front of you, it's something about me changing my character that will help you to change your character if I'm living in what I'm saying. See, because anybody can talk Narcotics Anonymous program. We done sold dope in here. Some of us that sold ourselves. I did both. So if I can't walk in front of you and be who I say I am, then there's no need for me to even stand at a podium and try to carry a message to please people through ego and image. I had to learn what my ego was. These are all the things that made up my character prior to me getting to a character that God was pleased with. My ego was the thing that I put on when I walked out of the house so that you could be pleased with what you seen. But that wasn't who I was. I even gave my ego a name. I called her Go-Go. Go-Go was that person that protected me from childhood. She was the person that when I found mommy dead, when 9 years old, she protected me from that point. All my life I've been saying like, why am I here? Even after trying to kill myself. Most people don't even know that. Maybe Freddie, because we went to high school together. I took 70 or 60 pills. Trying to get away from my father who was a tyrant. Because when my mother died, I transformed into everybody I was around. trying to get a piece of everybody's character. And my character became my defect. So mommy wasn't there to guide me. Daddy was married to somebody else, and then he brought me in the house that Jack built, his house. Today happens to be the day that my brother died. My brother was the same one that molested me. He thought I was pretty enough to touch. But I got a chance to make amends to my brother. He called me on his dying bed and said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that to you." And I said, "I've been forgave you. Now, when you die today, where will your soul rest?" And my brother say, "I'm covered." I said, "Well, go in peace. I love you." And he died. And I kept trying to figure out why I was so uneasy about this day. It was because this the day my brother died. Right? So what I'm understanding in this step working part, and I brought all these books and all this stuff, but I always ask God to decrease me so that I'll give a message of hope that people will be able to identify with. Because I'm not in the competition thing. I just ain't trying to do the song and dance for nobody no more. My life speaks for itself. Right? It talks about in here, like, even for the people with time. In the first step in the flat book, it talks about, like, if you find yourself doing a behavior that is not conducive to this simple program, this is my words, for you to get back to basics, stop the behavior, and keep it moving. But what we do is we condemn ourselves over and over and over again, and we can't get to the place where we are asking our faith and our hope and our courage to take form. We can't. It talks about in the fourth step. Page 33, if you ever get a chance to look at it, it say we may have to overcome a barrier that grows from an unwillingness to reveal more of our disease. Many of our members with clean time have shared that an inventory taken later in recovery has revealed that their addiction has spread its tentacles so completely throughout their lives that virtually no area was left untouched. Look, it says this rationalization is often met with the feeling of dismay and perplexity. We wonder how we could still be so sick. Hasn't all this effort in recovery resulted for more than surface healing? So I said to myself, like, God, I just don't want to be a person in here that talk recovery and can't walk what I say. Anybody can write step work. Most people do. But the thing I'm learning about this program is that if I can't, it talked about it in the third step. The decision is easier to make than to live by. Most of us can't get to God saying this is where the spiritual work begins in step six. My step six says, Francis, look, God, I'm tired of being who I used to be. Can you please introduce me to me? For the first time in my life, I would like to introduce you to Francis. Pleased to meet you. But this is what I'm saying about how this program works. When I started to really do some work in here, God, let me tell you something. One of my sponsors, she got 3 years. She said, "Sponsor, I don't know when the transformation took place." I said, "Me neither." See, because I'm just starting to really, like, this last 8 years, because for real, with the 20 I had prior to it, my step work was, ask me a question and I'll tell you no lie. It wasn't really no step work. It was like, I might give you a piece of paper. Matter of fact, let me go a little deeper for you. We could talk the steps. Even talking with your sponsor. But most sponsors ain't doing it, so how they gonna guide you out of a place they ain't never been? See, it's something for us to stand up and have people that we got, like I got 20 sponsees, and then you keep watching your sponsee being a trick, or she still being a hoe, or she still coming to the meeting. And look, don't get it twisted, right? This step work is talking about God planting the seeds of desire. I am willing to change. If I'm not willing, ain't nothing gonna transpire. My transformation comes from my willingness to accept more of my disease. My sponsor always say, look, you can be a wonderful example or a horrible warning. He said, let me tell you why most people don't want to change the defect of character. It ain't the fact that they don't know the defect exists, some of them. He said, but for real, what really happens is a thing called eleutherophobia, the fear of freedom. Most of us talk about freedom, but we don't want to be free. We don't want to be free. Look, look at us say, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Look, it took a long time for me to get to a place where I'm humble enough. I wasn't humble. And when you're not humble, you become humiliated. It's a fear when people with time are too afraid to tell people, look, I'm still sick. I'm still doing the things I used to do. Then I still did this. Does that really matter? Yes, it matters. It matters. Because people are always watching us. They say we each other's eyes and ears. So when you look at somebody else, what do you see? What are you seeing? When you look in the mirror, forget looking at somebody else. It's something about in that fourth step in there to get to step five. How you gonna admit to God, to yourself, and to another human being if you ain't told the truth in one? It's impossible. You can tell what looks like the truth. You can tell what you know to be the truth. But they must boss always say the truth can't be told until the truth is known. A lot of times we can't tell the truth because we ain't got in touch with it ourselves. That fourth step in here saying if we become very quiet, I take my hat off to people that lives in inner cities. I used to live there, so I understand. It's a loud noise that goes on between our two ears, right? He moved me so I could become very quiet. He put me in a place where I got one meeting in the city I'm in. One meeting. And we just trying to get two. I've been working on it. I say, look, okay. When they said, we're going to move out. We in one little box. And they been to my little town. One little 8x5. And look, the chairs is around the room like this. And then another circle right here. In lines right here. We be so close up on each other. Look. You don't turn left or right. Just keep yourself straight. Then we got one little lady, and I remember that lady, that gets up and walks to the coffee pot because she ain't got in touch with the defect that became her current. So we just got to say, go ahead, baby, keep walking to the coffee pot. One day you're going to get tired, and then you're going to sit down, and things going to become normal. Or you're going to, look, let me tell you something. I understand that. One day I was sitting, this just happened. This transformation of my spirit just happened. Because I was like, God, I really do want to change. And I was humble enough, so in step seven, it was easy for God to remove something because I was willing. I was open, and I ain't had nothing else to rely on. I say, look, God, me and you against the world. Look. You ain't got to give me no more men. I'm all right with that. You ain't got to give me no big house. I'm all right with that. You ain't got to give me no lavish jewelry. I'm all right with that. Every now and then, God, could you just let me know that you got my back like a jacket? And guess what he did? He did that. Let me tell you something. I was in a Sprint store. And the wall collapsed on top of me. It's been 5 years ago. Like, I cry like a baby because I like to dance. I got a fake knee, right? That's just a part of what I got. That ain't who I am, right? And I said, so God, what are you trying to do? Get me to rest? Maybe. And so one day I was laying on the couch last week and I started crying. I said, God, what do you want from me? What do you want? What do you want me to do? And it became like I'm quiet. Where I'm at, it ain't no noise. Like you have to bang on the pot just to get some noise. And so I'm quiet there. And I lay there and I just, you know, if it never happens, if I'm in love with y'all, that's my love life. My child, she's getting ready to go away to college and it's going to be the empty nest syndrome. right? And she's going to the Honors College at UNCG Chapel Hill studying biology. I can't help her with homework. She's studying stuff like biology and chemistry because she want to be a doctor. Look, my other daughter, she done got her 2 degrees. Look, I'm a good mother. I had her in the penitentiary. So I'm no longer walking around here in penitentiary mode. I'm walking around here in the new transformation of my spirit. Right? So I'm no longer scared of freedom. This took a long time for me to get to this place. It took me to be humble because I've been humiliated in here. I've been humiliated where they didn't talk. They didn't say I was dead. Yada, yada, yada. And let me tell you something. Freedom ain't free. This is how I know it ain't free. I got sick. I started doing step work like it was nobody's business and made myself ill. My sponsor said, you thought the disease just was going to leave you willingly? No, y'all don't understand. I created my own disease called conversion disorder or dystonia. I started going in convulsions because I could no longer get angry anymore. If you made me angry and I was being in my humble self, I was like, I understand. Right? I start going in convulsions. Because some say, take the coffee pot, smack them over the top of the head. And the other me said, no. So I started to change, and I had to tell myself, I'm no longer afraid of you. I'm no longer afraid of you. So I started to transform without my permission. So me and even the women that I like are in my little circle, we be on a FaceTime. It be like 6 of us on a screen, and we be doing step work like nobody's business. The most humbling thing that happened to me recently was a young lady from D.C. called me, and she said, I'm supposed to be doing a 4-step. She said, but I really don't understand. It wasn't that she didn't understand it. She couldn't read the words. So every night at 11 o'clock, she calls me. And I read it word for word. And I spell it out for her. And I give her spelling words to do every night out of this book. And I don't do it for me. I do it so she can be a better her. Then we understand why people still acting out of character. Because the defects ain't gone nowhere. So what I did was like, I had to look up, like I had this in my book for years. All the character defects, anger, anxiety, arrogance, bigotry. I had to look up what bigotry meant, right? It means prejudice. Like, because we got people of all different origins in here. Muslim, Catholic, Christian, yada, 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 yada. We got people of all kinds of stuff in here. So we can't afford to be people of prejudice. That's what bigotry. I don't like them because they light skin. I don't like them because they wearing sweatpants. I don't like... Nah, we ain't in here for that. These are the defects in your character that need to be removed. But if you don't know what they are, then you can't remove something you don't know exists. It says conceit, condemnations, dishonesty, egotism, envy, false pride, fear, frustration. Tell your little secret. Fear. There's only 2 emotions in the world. There's fear and there's love. If you're fearful, then you operate out of everything under fear. You're angry, you're egotistical, you're things like that. And if you're operating out of love, your other self will give you everything that builds up the new character that you're trying to get to. Right? But until you're ready, God can't remove it. He said, I won't force nothing on you till you're ready to receive. So, I don't have a whole bunch to say. All I know is that, like... Watch it. All I know is that, look, for the people in here with time, they tell my sponsor, and this is true, that the disease taxes us in the latter stages of our recovery. And we can become an as-is vehicle, or we can become a new model rolling off the floor room, right? And how do I do that? I wanted to become a new model, so I started to do things like eat right. I started to do things like make sure my teeth was perfect. You know what I'm saying? I like teeth. You can smile, I'll be like this. Ooh, that's nice. I be all up in people's mouth and stuff like that. So I started to do things like that, right? So I had to ask the God of my understanding to transform my character and to remove some of the defects, because I could no longer live in the illusion of the person that I created. It talked about us creating a person when we brought in here, and I talked about that real briefly earlier. And if you don't get rid of that person, then that person is still operating in your character now. So, I don't know, y'all. I've had fun. I've loved you, Linda. I love myself. And with that, thankful, let me share.
Thank you.